To be here. We hate we couldn't be here this morning, but the Lord blessed in our meeting this morning, and very grateful for that. But good to be with you folks tonight. And for those who don't know me, hopefully everybody knows me, I'm Thomas Hawkins, Rock of Ages, your missionary. And I'm glad to be here, and I guess that's habit, but I thank the Lord for an opportunity to be here at Youth Night. And I'm glad I'm not preaching to a bunch of young people in jumpsuits tonight. And very grateful for that. And I know Brother Hildebrand knows this. There's a lot of them out there, aren't there, brother? Got SCDC, NCDC on the back of their shirts, messed up their lives. But I thank the Lord there's some young people still in the house of God, still have a heart for the Lord. And very grateful for that. If you will, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight. I would ask you to pray for us this week. Lord willing, on Tuesday we'll be in Albemarle Correction right down the road. We'll be there Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the other guys will be there on Thursday as well. Revival meeting there for those inmates. Pray for that meeting. Then Saturday we'll be headed down to Kirkland Correctional there in Columbia for visitation all day on Saturday. Pray for that meeting as well. We're excited about being in that institution. And then, of course, we start Missions Conference next week. And the Lord has granted me the honor of being here for that and preaching that Missions Conference. And so pray the Lord will direct me as we're involved in that. And again, it's good to be with you folks tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I want to begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Verse 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the young people that we have here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for the leadership and allowing the young people to take part in a service and know what it is to operate in the house of God. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, thank you for 65 years of this church being placed here in Salisbury as a lighthouse, Father. And I pray, God, that you continue to bless in the coming days and in the coming years as we labor in this place, Father. Lord, I do pray now that you'd please, Lord, empty me of myself. Father, I pray you'd fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd remove any nerves. Lord, I pray you'd take anything away from my mind that would hinder you using me tonight. Forgive any sin. Father, I pray tonight that you'd give me good pace, clarity of heart and mind. Lord, I pray for my audience. May they listen with open ears and open hearts. And Lord, be receptive to the Word of God. Help us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy is the Apostle Paul's last will and testament. Paul knew that his time on earth was coming to a close and the Lord was about to call him home. I'm thankful that there comes a time in a person's life when God is finished with us. When that time comes, we will leave this world. I think about Brother Bobby Sizemore, one of the missionaries with Rock of Ages, who labored many years in the country of Brazil. He just passed away a few months ago, and one of the missionaries said this about Brother Bobby, that the Lord was done with him. That Bobby had finished his work, and it was time for Bobby to go home. Paul knew that his time on earth was coming to a close, and he knew that all that he had done for the Lord and what he had done for the Lord was now finished. And Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 7. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul said, "I've done what I was supposed to do." I say tonight quickly, young people, when you get to the end of your life, I hope you can say to the Lord, "I've done what I am supposed to do," or "what I was supposed to do." There are a lot of folks that get down to the end of life and they're not able to say that they have fulfilled God's call upon their life. They've gotten sidetracked some way. But Paul said, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I also notice there is such thing as a good fight. I think about as our service for the Lord and the Christian life, that is a fight worth fighting. Paul is writing to this young preacher by the name of Timothy, and he's encouraging him to do several things. Number one, he's encouraging him to be bold. to be bold. I think about the day and age in which we live in, one of the greatest things we need is bold Christians. We need bold young men and young women to stand up and say, I'm not afraid to stand for what is right. I'm not afraid to hold to the old time religion. I'm not afraid to do what I have been instructed to do concerning the things of God. Paul was also instructing him to be fearless, to not fear those things that would harm his testimony and harm his life. He was also instructing him to be faithful in what God had given him to do, and also to beware of those that wished to derail him. In verse 13 of our text tonight, we read that Paul tells Timothy of evil men and of seducers. And he tells them that they are going to wax worse and worse. The time in which we live in, there are those that are out there even now deceiving and being deceived, as it said in this verse. I think about these that are deceiving and being deceived. Notice they themselves do not see their own failure. We live where many men don't even realize their own shortcoming, their own failure, and how that they're making mistakes along the way, and how they're not only deceiving themselves, but they're deceiving others. In verse 14, and where we'll draw our thought from tonight, I find the phrase, but continue thou. But continue thou. I looked up the word continue, and the word continue means to last. It means to remain in a state or a place. It means to be durable. It means to endure, to preserve, to be steadfast or constant. Paul is telling this young man to continue, to go on in what he has been instructed in, to go on in what he has learned, to not stop what he is doing and the direction in which he is going in. As we said, Paul knew that his time was over. And he knew that the opportunity for his ministry had come to an end. But young Timothy's time had come. His opportunity to step up and step into a place where he could serve God was now wide open to him. And Paul was telling Timothy to continue on the path that he was on. I see several young people here tonight, and as far as I can tell, with your parents and with this church, we're trying to keep you on a very good path. We're trying to point you in the right direction. We're trying to lead you in the way that you should go. But there will come a time in your life where you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to continue in that way, or am I going to get sidetracked and go my own way? Am I going to follow after the things that I've been instructed and taught in the Word of God and the things that I have found to be true and right? Or am I going to go out and find my own way in this life? Paul saw the need in his day and age for young people in the church. And I say tonight that one of the greatest needs we have in our local churches is for young men and young women to continue, to hang around. To not age out of church, if you will. You ask Brother Hildebrand as a missionary, you ask me as a missionary, one of the things that we're finding as we travel all across this country is our churches are not getting younger. They're getting older. That the men and women that are standing behind the pulpit are not young or not middle-aged anymore, but they're getting to the end or the twilight of their life. Those that are in the choir, those that are operating in other positions in the church, they are there and they are serving and they still have vigor, they still have health, they're still able to and they have that desire, but they're in the older or the twilight of their life and there's no young people coming behind them to take their place. A lot of churches nowadays in which we go into, instead of having young people, instead of having events like this, they're simply burying off those that are leaving and they're not replenishing the ranks. If you will. Tonight, by way of introduction, I want to say two things to our church concerning the Apostle Paul and what Paul saw and what I see and need in our local churches. Number one, let me say tonight that young people are needed in our local churches. Well, what better place for young men and young women to get instructed in the things of God? What better place for young men and young women to come to when there's times of trouble and times of doubt? What better place for them to be at this phase in their life than in the house of God and under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God? Young people today are going all types of different ways. They're seeking all types of different answers. They're looking for all types of different things to satisfy. And instead of ending up in the house of God, they're ending up everywhere else. think about Paul. Let me say tonight that young people are needed. I think about us, and I'm still fairly young. I got two gray hair, one on each side. But I think about young people and us as older folks and us in the church. We need to realize that at one time we were young and we wanted to be in the house of the Lord. I think about when I was a young person, I had some Vans shoes and man, I was cool. I watched Space Jam and knew Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player that ever lived. And by the way, he still is. I remember growing up, and I even remember as a kid having a TV with knobs on it. Young people ask your mom and dad about, or grandma, some of you, about that. I think about all of that, and sometimes as we get older in our lives, we forget that at one point we were young people, and we were the ones that made mistakes, and we were the ones that were kind of shy and awkward and all of those things, and we were the ones that were trying to figure it out. Instead of looking at young people thinking, man, they ain't never going to amount to nothing, we need to look at them and say, I was at that point at one time in my life. As young people get older, they fail to realize, or as people get older, we fail to realize the need for young people in our local church as a part, not just someone to sit on a pew, amen, but as a part of the local church. You say, why should I be interested in young people? Because Jesus Christ was interested in young people. The Bible says in Luke 18:16, but Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Christ was interested in having the young people come to him, having the young people sit under his teaching and hear the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our priorities as a church, we ought to be interested in getting the young people under the hearing and the sound of the word of God. Mark 9:42 says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it was better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. That's a pretty harsh sentence there, ain't it? To offend a young person, to cause a young person to stray, to cause a young person to get out of the house of God. And let me say this, as a church in transition, this is a prime time we need to be very careful not to offend young people in our dealings. But it would be better if someone that offended a young one would have their millstone hang around their neck, cast into a sea. Young people not only are needed, but secondly, by way of introduction, young people are capable. Young people are capable. If we are not careful, we will waste one of the greatest resources that God has given a church. And that's young men and young men and young women. One of the greatest resources we have sits on our pews. And yet oftentimes we fail and overlook that resource. Sure, young people will make mistakes. Why? They're young. Sure, young people will take wrong steps. Why? Because they're young. Sure, they'll say the wrong things. They'll do the wrong things. They'll act the wrong way at the wrong time. That's going to happen. Why? Because they're young people. It's part of it. And by the way, we often do that as adults even now. But I think about the need is we need to realize that young people are capable. 1 Samuel 17:33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Saul said, hey, you ain't capable. When that 45 caliber stone hit Goliath in the head and he went down, Saul realized, hey, he was capable. He was a lot more capable than I thought he was. He was a ruddy boy, a young boy. I didn't think he would amount to nothing. I didn't think he couldn't even put my armor on. He couldn't even holster my Gatling gun. But he went out there and he took him out. And Saul said, man, he's capable. Think about over in 2 Chronicles 34:1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Man, what if Vivian was elected president tomorrow? 8 years old when he began to reign. I don't know how old. You got one 8 years old? Seven. Well, Vivian's seven. I just shot close. Which one? Grace. He had to. Come on now. Grace is 7 years old. He's in trouble when he gets old. Imagine they get elected president. Grace Hildebrand and Vivian Hawkins, president and vice president. Man, you're talking about something. But here was a young man at 8 years old. He began to reign the nation of Israel. The Bible talks about how he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, how that he had a right heart, how that he did great things for God. Why? Because young people were capable. Think about Daniel. Was a young man when he went to Babylon, and he was capable of doing the right thing and making the right decision and not taking that portion of the king's meat and doing what was right. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, They were capable to stand up and say, I know what's right, I know what's wrong, and I'm not going to follow the king. I say tonight that young people are capable. All young people whom God would use in great ways are the ones that we just mentioned. Sometimes all a young person needs is an opportunity or a little encouragement to step forward and say, this is how you're supposed to do it. So notice again tonight, by way of our text and for the remainder of our time, I say again the phrase, but continue. This is a challenge to young Timothy to stay the course, to remain faithful. This afternoon, for the time that I have, I'd like to challenge our young people and even those of us that are seasoned veterans to do as Paul said and to continue. To continue. As I begin to think on this phrase, but continue, there were four things that come to mind that a person has to do or a person needs in order to continue to do what is right. Number one, in order to continue, you have to be doing something. To continue, you have to be doing something. You cannot remain still to continue. You cannot restop somewhere in order to continue. But you have to be continuing. You have to be going forward. It's an action word. Paul said to Timothy, keep doing the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Young people, I know for a fact that you've been under the hearing of the Word of God. And you've been assured of some things. You've been instructed in some things. You've been shown some things. Many of you have good godly mom and daddy and good godly Christian homes. And they've instructed you and shown you the things of God. And there's going to come a time in your life when you're 18, 19, 20 years old that you're going to have to make the decision, am I going to continue in the things that I have been instructed in? I say tonight, if you're a young person, you need to continue. You need to remain faithful. You need to be able to start doing something. Young people, I say tonight, find a way to get involved in your local church. I'm thankful for this night, this afternoon, where young people have an opportunity to be involved through singing and through leading a service, through taking up offering and all of those things. Don't take those things for granted. If you get involved, you'll be less tempted to leave. So many times young people leave because they don't have anything to do. They don't have any opportunity. They don't have any chance to show what they can do. You say, well, as a young person, what can I get involved in my local church? Well, let me say, and Doug's going to like this one. First of all, you can get involved in tithing, faith promise, and giving. You say, what are you talking about? You ever notice that young people, a lot of them, is getting to the age where they're going to soon have jobs? And they're going to soon have those cars, and they're going to soon have all of those things. And as parents and as a church, we need to say, hey, listen, young people, according to the Word of God, one of the ways that you can get involved in the things of God is through this matter of giving to your local church. It's commanded to tithe. That's a command of the Lord to give, to back the portion to what God has given you and what granted you and what God's done. I say to this, young people, you ought to learn how to support missionaries. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a missionary. But the more you get to know missionaries, the more you get involved in missionaries. I will say this, be careful, you may end up being a missionary. You say, why is that? Because that's how it happened with me. Me and my wife's habit was when a missionary would come by Landis Baptist Church, I would ask the pastor, can I take them out to eat? And we'd take them out to eat and we'd hear about all they're doing and where they're going. And next thing I know, I got Steve Gregory sitting across the table. Have you ever considered prison? No, I ain't never considered that. Next thing I know, I'm in a prison in South Carolina, and now I'm a Rock of Ages missionary for almost 4 years. It will be 4 years September. All of that came through the fact that I had a heart for missions, and I had a desire for missions, and I was interested in that thing. And I learned to give to missions. Young people, if you want to get involved in the things of God, get involved in this matter of giving. Another way you can get involved is in the matter of outreach, soul winning, and visitation. You'd be amazed who wouldn't answer the door if Shane walked there, but who would answer the door if a young person was there. You'd be amazed who wouldn't talk to me or talk to somebody else, but they look at a young person and maybe they'll have talked. Now let me say, don't go by yourself. Go with adults. That's a given, I hope. But there is a way that you can go out and get involved in this soul winning. Hey, listen, your classmates need to be one to the Lord. Amen. That co-worker needs to be one to the Lord. That fellow you play basketball with in your neighborhood needs to be one to the Lord. That guy you play, whatever you play on them controllers on the line, needs to be one to the Lord. Next time you're playing Halo, say Jesus saves and see what happens on the other end. You never know. Think about all of this. I think about getting involved in youth activities. I'll be honest with you, I'm not around much because of what God's called me to do. But I'm sure there's youth activities, things going on that you can get involved in. Why not come? So I'm too cool for that. I'm too hip for that. You're missing out on a great opportunity to serve the Lord. You're missing out on a great opportunity to grow in the Lord and to develop some relationships that would be good for you. I think about this, young people, and I say this. Young people, by the way, you don't ever graduate from Sunday school. An old person, if you're here and you don't go to Sunday school, you ain't graduated from Sunday school either. We used to sing a song at the church I grew up with. 9:45, 9:45. I'll be in Sunday school at 9:45. You ain't graduated from Sunday school, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the greatest Bible teaching, some of the greatest Bible understanding I got sitting in a Sunday school class. You say, well, we don't have somebody that I go with, or I don't have, I'm 18, I'm 19, I'm however old, I don't want to go to the teenage class. Go to Doug's class. Go to this class. Go get it. Hey, ladies, go to Miss Leslie's class. There's some things to be learned from that. You say, well, they're not my age. It don't matter. I was 18 years old, walked into a Sunday school class as the teacher. They were 65 years and older. But man, I learned so much. I learned so much. Think about this. Ask leadership. How can I get involved? And if they hand you a mop or a broom or a lawnmower or a weed eater, take it and run with it. Think about getting involved in this matter of missions. We already hit that a little bit with living, with the matter of tithing and giving. But go and see what's going on. Laboring, the back-breaking kind. Something we've got away from in our day and age is teaching young people how to work. We've not taught them the right four-letter words like wash, cook, help, lend a hand. We need to learn to be able to get involved in those things. Young people, I say to you, you are capable, you can do these things, and you need to find a way to get involved in what God's doing. You need to find a way to get involved in what's happening in the house of God. Let me say, secondly, you should also have a desire or make the choice to continue. Notice the words thee and thou appear three times. Thou appears three times in verses 14 and verse 15. Thee appears one time in verse 15. You see, salvation in the Christian life is a personal life. A person has to have a desire and has to come to the realization that they have to personally accept Christ, number one, as Savior. And secondly, they have to personally determine to live their life for the Lord. This thing, ladies and gentlemen and young people, is a personal thing. You cannot go to heaven on what your mom and dad has done. You cannot go to heaven on what grandma done. I go to these prisons and you go in there. Well, my grandma was a preacher. What's that got to do with anything? Are you saved? Well, my granddaddy was a preacher. My granddaddy was a deacon. And all. What about you? I'm talking to you, you know. Where's your relationship at, you know? They wonder why they're in the condition they're in. Why? Because they tried to ride what mom and daddy had done. We was in the jail this week, walked in there, there's a mom and a daddy, they're in tears. Go see our son, he's getting ready to go down for a while. We raised him right. Third time caught with a lot of drugs, looking at probably 15 to 20. What happened? He didn't have a personal relationship. He had mom and daddy's relationship. Think about a lot of young people leave church and never serve the Lord because they do not have that personal salvation. They do not have that personal walk with the Lord. You look over there in the book of Joshua. Joshua said, choose you this day. He said, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to go after other things? There'll come a time, young people, it may not be now, it may be later in life, you're going to have to make a choice. Hey, are you going to choose God, or are you going to choose the relationship, the girl, the boy, or whoever? You say, well, I love them. Well, if they're pulling you away from mom and dad, they're pulling you away from the house of God, they're pulling you away from the things of God, watch out. Amen. You're headed for trouble. You're going to have to eventually get to the point where you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to have to go after the education? And there's nothing wrong with education, but there is a right way to get it. You're going to have to make the choice. Am I going to go to the things of God, or am I going to go after the career? Go after the six figures and go after whatever it may be in life. And I guarantee you, you're going to have to choose you this day. That day, you're going to be confronted with a decision. Am I going to follow the things of God, or am I going to give into my flesh and follow the things of the world? By the way, I'll go ahead and tell you, they will not satisfy. Lot chose the things of Sodom over the blessings that Abraham had. Oh, he just pitched his tent in that direction. Then he was sitting in the gate. Then he was kicked out of the city. They had to pull him out. He wouldn't leave on his own accord. Entered into a wicked relationship with his daughters. And man, all kinds of trouble come of that. Lot's life ruined because he made the wrong decision. Samson chose a woman over the Spirit of God. David chose a rooftop over warfare. And Bathsheba got him in all types of trouble. I think about all those chose the wrong way. But you know, Moses chose the Lord over a kingdom. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's. He didn't want to be Pharaoh's daughter, son. That's what it come down to. I'm going to read it right over here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to get it right tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Moses, he chose the right thing and he decided, hey, I'm not going to go that way. By faith, Moses, when he come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was at the head of the most powerful kingdom of his time and he said, I won't go that way. I won't follow after that thing. Moses made the right thing. The three Hebrew children trusted God and overcame the fire instead of caving into a king. Ruth chose the things of God over her upbringing and over her nation. One of our missionaries makes the statement, it's hard to change your raisin. It's hard to change how a person was raised. But understand this, if you weren't raised right, you weren't raised in a godly home, you weren't raised in the house of the Lord, you can change that with decisions you make as a young person. We must have that desire to seek after the things of God. Thirdly, let me say this, in order to continue, young people, you have to be teachable. You have to be teachable. In case you hadn't noticed it, young men and young women, you do not know it all. I can't believe he said that. Brother Hildebrand will tell you, you go talk to them young people in them juvies. They know it all, don't they? They got it all figured out. I was talking to one just Friday night. We was in there. Man, he was telling me all this and all that and all this about the Bible. I said, wait a minute. Come here, let me show you from the Bible. You know, at the end of it, he was all loud and boisterous when it started, but at the end of it, I hit him with that scripture, and he didn't have nothing else to say. Why? He realized he didn't know it all like he thought he did. So many times we think we know it all. We got it all figured out. Understand, you notice in the phrase here, verse 14, which thou hast learned. That word learned means skillful, containing learning, a learned man. Timothy had learned something. He had received and applied instruction to his life. Young people, one of the best things you can do is sit under this preaching and learn from it. Write it down. Meditate on it. Go on YouTube and find the Maze Jacksons, the John R. Rices, the J. Harold Smith, the Bill Adams if he's on there. All of those. Go find those folks. Sermon audio. I know Bill's on Sermon audio. Brother Pastor Adams is on Sermon audio. Go find those and listen to them and get them in your mind and get them in your heart and learn from those things. Think about Matthew 11, 29. It says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. That's the Lord Jesus saying, learn of me. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Ecclesiastes 7, 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. There's a lot of foolish stuff floating around in the airways today. A lot of foolish stuff floating around on the television, and I got one. There's a lot of stuff floating around on the radio, and I got one of them too. A lot of stuff floating around on the internet, and I got internet, all that stuff. But a lot of times we're pumping all that junk in there that don't need to be there, and we're listening to all that foolish stuff instead of listening to what is wise and what is right. Young people, we need to pay attention to what's going on in the house of God. Give ear to sound preaching. Let me say this tonight. Young people, you ought to be able to ask questions. You hear a preacher say something, or you hear a Sunday school teacher say something, and maybe you don't understand what they said or what they went through or whatever it was. Hey, when you get home, hey, Dad, that pastor said this. What did he mean? Hey, Mom, they said this. What did he mean by that? And ask questions about it. Maybe even in the class, say teacher, say preacher, say, I want to know. At the end of a service, Pastor, what did you mean when you said that? What were you talking about when you said that? Learn to ask questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question, and I truly believe that. Learn to ask questions. Secondly, take notes. Write down those things. I've got the front of my Bible. This one's not quite as full because this one's not as old. But my Bible at the house, the one I got when I was a teenager, I ain't got no room left in the front of it. Why? Because when a pastor would say something, would strike home, I'd write it down. And I go back and guess what I do? I get messages from phrases that people said. The pastor said, the preacher said, the Sunday school teacher said. Think about this. Look for examples to follow and follow those examples. You know, we live in a day and age where people say, role models. Charles Barkley come out a few years ago with, I am not a role model. No, he's not a role model. He's terrible, as he says. But I think about that. You know, young people do need a role model, but find the right kind of role model. There's two of my role models sitting in the room to us this morning. Bill Adams is my role model. Brother Hildebrand. These are men that I look to. I look at their lives. I know them. And don't cry on me, Steph. You make me cry. I look at these people and I say, I know where they've been. I know what they've been through. I can go to them. I can call them. I can ask them things. Why? They've been there. They've done that. They've got the t-shirt that I'm trying to get. And it can help me as I go along the way. Then I say, lastly, listen. Listen. So many times we're too busy talking to listen to what's being said, to pay attention to what's being put forth. We're so busy chattering. You know, I think about service time. You want to talk to friends, go outside after the service. Oh, don't do it while church is going on. Somebody stands up and testifies, ain't time to talk. It's time to listen. Then fourthly, let me say this. You have to be careful. He said here, knowing of whom thou hast learned them in verse 14. Paul told Timothy, know who he's learning from. Be careful who you seek advice from, young people. I say this, if the person doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I would not seek advice from them. They may give good advice, but they're going to give it from a worldly standpoint and a worldly perspective. When you seek advice, you ought to seek advice from someone who knows the Lord, from someone who has been with the Lord. I've got what I call a short list. About five or six fellows on that list that I know if I need advice, I can call those guys and I'm going to get good, solid, sound advice from because of the relationship with the Lord Jesus. Think about how that you need to be careful. And let me say this, young people, don't seek advice from one another. And girls, should I go out with him? I don't know. He's got a wart on his nose. You can cover it up with makeup. Don't be doing that. You seek advice from one another. Y'all are in the same place. Y'all are going through the same things. Y'all are having the same things going on up here and everywhere else. Don't seek advice from each other. Seek advice from somebody who's already been there. Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, be followers of me, together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You ought to look around the house of God and you ought to say, he's a good example. I need to learn from him. Ladies, Miss Leslie, she's a good example. I can follow after her and other ladies that are involved in the church. Think about Lily. You're playing the piano. You got a good example over there. And other good examples. Your mama's a good example. Miss Lisa's a good example. Those to follow after. Young men, if you're called to preach, you need to find preachers and say, hey, they're good examples. I can learn from them. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. No greater example than the Lord Jesus. I know that it was popular when I was coming up, what would Jesus do? But you know what? That's still a pretty good phrase. What would Jesus do in that situation? I know it was marketed and all that stuff, but yay, that's all right to think that. How would he handle this? How would he react? How would he go about this thing? Let me say quickly tonight, well, let me hit this real quick. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. Listen, if you're hanging around a bunch of people and they're not making you sharper, you might want to reconsider that. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's a hungry devil out there waiting to eat you up and gobble up your life, young people. Let me say quickly, be careful whom you listen to. Let me say this. Someone goes against your parents, and they're godly parents, you ought to be aware of that person. You ought to be aware of that individual. Well, mom and dad said I should do this. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. Watch out. You're headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. Someone goes against the Bible, beware of that individual. We live in a day and age where they're challenging everything from creation to sexuality. They're pumping the world full of all. You said that, preacher? I said it. They're pumping our minds and our young people's minds full of all kinds of junk and trash and saying, that Bible ain't real, that Bible ain't true, that Bible ain't written by men. I love it when I do this. They say, oh, that Bible ain't written by men. I said, let me ask you something. If I tell you to write something down, I said, that makes you the writer, right? Yep, but who was the author? Me. I said, that's what God did when he wrote the Word of God. He told a bunch of men what to write down. He's the author of it. Young people, you may get into a position in college one day, I don't know, where that professor's got all them PhDs and all that stuff up there. He may think that he knows it all, and he may think he's got it all figured out, but if he says anything according that goes against the Word of God, beware of that person. Beware of that person. If a preacher stands up and it don't line up with the book, beware of that individual. Let me say this, if someone goes against the law of the land, beware of that person. The Bible says we're to live peaceably if at all possible. We're not to be stirring up trouble. Someone says, oh man, come on, you can push a little harder. Just go, just speed a little bit. Beware, the blue light's in your future. Somebody said, oh, just take this one hit, it won't hurt nothing. Let me tell you this, we was in Goodman Correctional down in, a couple weeks ago. Goodman's a small, it's a low-key camp. There ain't even a fence around this institution. We was talking to the officer, and if my mind serves me right, I know the last day we're there, but before that last day, the very first day we're there, he told us this. He said they done toted 5 men out of that institution. One hit of synthetic marijuana. I don't know how many of those men survived. The last day we were there, there was an issue with officer shortages. Why? They had toted one out that day. You'd think if somebody fell out off a hick and a hit off a joint, they wouldn't do it. But yet they're still doing it. Somebody's trying to get you to break the law or go somewhere you ain't supposed to be or go somewhere you ain't. Beware of that individual. So tonight as we close, Paul said to young Timothy to continue. And as we've already said, number one, let me say tonight to you young people, you are needed. I'm glad you're here. I know I'm not here much. You have to forgive me for what God called me to do. I have to go. But I guarantee you if I come back and you're not here, and I guarantee you, you think, well, nobody misses me when I'm gone. You have no idea. You have no clue who misses you, who wonders where they're at, who wonders are they all right, who wonders is they taken care of. Listen, young person, you think, well, hey, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, there's things going on in my mind. Listen, you need to realize you're needed. You're needed. Taking that life wouldn't do anything for you. It wouldn't do nothing but hurt everyone around you. Leaving this place and going out and trying to figure out your own thing, that ain't going to do nothing but hurt you. You are needed tonight. Then secondly, young people, you are capable. There's a ton of potential in this room tonight. I don't know what's in here. I remember a few years ago, I remember when I was a young person sitting over at New Hope at CYF and other places where we had big youth rallies, those preachers would all the time say, hey, there may be the next great preacher here. Well, I know the next great one wasn't there, but the next mediocre one was right there, doing the best I can anyway. So many times we look at young people and think, man, what in the world are they going to amount? We don't know. But they're capable. They're very capable. And then lastly, young people, you need to continue. You just need to continue. Father, thank you for the time you've granted me tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. I pray something was said tonight that would be a help to these young people. Lord, that they might continue to serve the Lord and continue to do that which is right. Lord, I pray you'd bless in the time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.